All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to KICast episode number 366. I am your host, GPD, here in Tokyo, Japan. And Wombat, I didn't prepare anything clever to say about you once again.
And once again, nothing clever, Wombat.
Nothing clever to be said about Wombat. There's a lot of clever things to be said about Wombat.
I'm actually disappointed that you did not even like the mild insult, a jab at my masculinity, nothing?
I was too busy thinking about how to depict you on the first ever CADcast E3 awards that we're getting.
Which I'm very excited for. And I think, you know, even though we haven't done it yet, I already feel as though it's going to be a huge success. And we really only have one person to thank for that. And that is our other esteemed host, Shipwreck.
Well, and with Smart Banky.
Only one person? How about the guy who's drawing them?
Right.
Well, I mean, yeah, the way they look is going to be nice, but it was Shipwreck's idea.
It was a really hard idea to come up with.
Right. You never see them plastered all over the walls at E3, like 50 different awards from places you never heard of.
Yeah, and then but ours will be one of them, and it'll probably be the one that stands out the
Another
most.
One that people
It'll
never
be the
heard
one
of.
That people are pointing at and going, who are they?
Who are they? What is that?
Desert Eagle told me that only certain awards now are allowed to be displayed. Like if you're only in the critics club or or whatever. I don't know if that's true though, because last year we definitely saw some that were not.
I think depending on who we give it to, like if we stoop low enough, they're going to display it.
I see. I mean, I'm really just excited to give them out to the food trucks, the various food trucks there. That's what.
Are you going to give it to like the dumpster behind the Hooters? Because I heard they're going to be showing stuff there.
Well, it's, you know, it's expensive inside the show on the show floor.
It is expensive on the show floor.
So we'll see how those come out.
They'll at least take them from us.
Right. If we give them out, they'll at least pretend to like them and pretend to display them.
There'll be a lot of confused PR people.
Well, we could videotape them.
Thanks,
as we hand them to guys. Them, and then we'll know whether or not they put them up. Everybody will know.
And we'll tell them that we're coming back later to check with a camera.
Yeah, we'll be back later.
And when you see that blurb that says, winner of over 22 E3 awards, because we were one of 22.
Right. That's probably why they like to get them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, it definitely is. It's definitely something they can put on the advertising and the box art.
I don't think they'll be putting our award. Oh, the number, you mean? The number, right?
Yeah, the number.
They put
course,
the number.
Of course, of course. So that's pretty exciting. I went to a really cool pinball, I don't know what you call it, a pinball arcade.
You talked about how you were going to.
Right, I didn't actually talk about going there, right?
No, I was going to say, but you don't have to explain what it is.
Right.
People listen to this show.
So anyway, we showed up there. And it was closed because apparently it closes at 8 o'clock. I don't know how you have an arcade that closes at 8 o'clock every night.
Gotta keep out the riffraff.
There's no riffraffs. It's Japan.
Did you go to the ice breaking bar then?
That's right. That's only in fake Osaka, Hawaii. I mean, fake Okinawa in Hawaii.
Yeah, it's fake Okinawa. Okinawa is ice block. Osaka is. Is that the octopus balls?
Yes, very
they
good.
Sell those in the street? Yeah, that's Osaka.
Very good. Wow.
I know my cult. I know more than you think.
I thought you were just racist, but you actually know more than just the stereotypes.
Yeah. Well, yes, I you know.
You're in tune with the culture.
I am in tune with the culture. So that, and I've actually always wanted to try those octopus balls.
They're good. It's really just a tiny piece of octopus. They have them in New York
City. Wrapped in a pancake.
They have them in Manhattan.
Yeah, I know.
They're good, too. Anyway,
but
so we went.
It wouldn't be the same.
Once we learned that they closed at 8 o'clock, we went back the next night. But we only had, you know, we only wound up having like a half an hour to check it out. But it was pretty amazing. They had about 50 machines in there. And they had had everything good. I played AC/DC, which was your recommendation, Ship, I think.
I just played that this weekend, too.
That's a great table.
Yeah, it is.
It just has a lot of AC/DC songs. And the part of the game is getting it to play as many songs as possible. So that works pretty well. I played Guns N' Roses, which they had in my college arcade. They had a lot of games that were in my college arcade. So it was very interesting.
Did they have Funhouse?
They must have had it. I really had like 20-something minutes to check it out. So I don't...
Funhouse.
Thank you.
They must have had it. They had old ones, new ones. They had basically everything.
The place I went had Funhouse as well. That's my favorite machine. So
how much did it cost?
50 cents a play.
Okay, so this was $1 a play.
The video store I worked at in high school also had Funhouse.
The saddest part was when they were closing, and I was playing AC/DC, and I matched, but they were closing. So I had to leave.
Did you tell them? But I matched.
I said, "Machu desu." And the guy just like sort of looked. The guy looked at me like I was speaking in a different language than intended, and then I just walked away.
A different language. Yeah.
But anyway, so that was really fun. I would go back there in a second, but 8 o'clock closing time is just I don't understand it. I've noticed that there's no show feedback here from this week's on this week's outline.
No, Chipwreck told me I needed to skip it.
It's too politically charged.
You know what? There was a lot to talk about from last week's show, and we talked about a lot of things, and a lot of people had a lot of opinions.
Did you guys write a reply in the thread?
I was going to say, and we replied to a lot of things in the thread, and I mean, hey, if you were offended by anything any of us said, me included, well, I can only apologize for myself.
I don't apologize.
I was going to say, you don't apologize for anything. But you know, it was a show, and when you touch on certain topics, you're going to say certain things.
Awesome. And wait till you hear what we say this week. You're really going to be offended.
You know, it's my plan was never to offend people, but my goal at the end of every episode is to try to make a show that entertains, I think is my number one priority. I can't. Well, my goal at the start of every episode is to entertain. Is that better?
I thought it was just to stay awake.
And to stay awake and to not listen and to tune out my crying son in the background, which is happening right now.
Awesome. Is that what your discussion was before the show? Your
yes.
Consultation?
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know. I'll never be able to please everybody. I don't know if I should try to please everybody. I'm sorry if I offended you. That's all I got, I think.
All right.
I could go on for an hour, but I don't want to bore people. Majority of people really didn't care.
Why don't you bring Elliot in here and have him apologize?
That's okay.
I can hear him.
Really? Because he's not... He just quieted
I just heard
down.
Him go, Papa, or something. Baba!
No.
Or maybe that was Shipwreck.
Could be.
Speaking of a shipwreck, mm-hmm. I watched the new RoboCop movie this weekend. And that is not a good movie. You know what the set... Did either of you guys see it?
No.
The tragedy is there's a lot of good and interesting ideas that are sprinkled throughout the movie. But you can tell...
I'll be right back.
Okay. You can controversy, Shipwreck. It's going down right now. Honey, they're talking about it in the show feedback. They're complaining about the kids making too much noise. It's in the feedback. It's documented now.
Right.
You have to do something. It's one of these movies that you could tell there's way too many people involved in getting the story across and just making the movie in general. Because there's actually good ideas, but there's just so much going on that's not RoboCop kicking ass that just turns it into a complete disaster. And they have a good cast, too. I mean, they have Gary Oldman is in it, for Christ's sake.
Yeah. Do you remember when Gary Oldman said that he wasn't going to do Saturday Night Live? He was scheduled to host, and he canceled at the last minute because he thought the show was terrible.
I don't remember that.
That happened, and he was replaced with John Goodman at the last second.
Wow.
That sounds better.
It happened in the 90s. That was in the 90s.
Wow.
the same Gary Oldman that was in that RoboCop movie.
He didn't turn down the RoboCop movie?
I don't know. And people were worried that it was going to be too, you know, because of PG-13, that it wasn't going to be violent enough, or rather graphic enough. But it's, I mean, there's, I guess, twice in the movie, they show you really all that's left of Alex Murphy, like his meat. And that's basically as disturbing as anything that you'd see in the original RoboCop movie. I mean, it's not, you're not seeing a guy's arm getting blown off. But that's
basically
that's like
nobody
more
in the original RoboCop
scarring.
Movie had bones.
Which one?
The original RoboCop, nobody had bones. It was just like they got shot and all their meat went everywhere.
right.
Like there was no – they hadn't figured out how to make bones back in the 80s, I guess.
Well, are you saying there's too much blood splatter?
Well, no. Like their whole bodies would just like break apart. Like,
yeah, it was kind of – everyone looked like they were made out of tomatoes in the original RoboCop.
Well, they said like in the boardroom scene with when Ed-209 like malfunctions and just dumps basically like 200 rounds into some executive. They said they just wanted to put a ridiculous amount of blood packets in it just to make it look, you know, to make it look over the top. And that's what made RoboCop, the original RoboCop, such a great movie, is that it's serious and over the top at the same time. And this one is just, you just have no idea what's going on. And there's just too much boring shit. And Michael Keaton is in it. And that's, he shouldn't be in it.
He was Batman.
He should not be in this movie. He's not a good character in this movie. It's just a mess. It's too bad. It's not as good as RoboCop 2, and it's basically about the same as RoboCop 3. And there's no ninjas in it. you said your ninja would defeat RoboCop. You know, like there's no lines like that. But it's basically as bad as RoboCop 3. So yeah, too bad. I didn't watch the season finale of Arrow yet. While I'm at.
Okay, then we'll table that conversation until next week.
Right.
I am caught up on Arrow, and which means I have nothing to watch until the fall.
Was it okay, the finale?
It's fine. It's not that it's a bad finale. It's definitely not the best episode of the season. I honestly felt like the last three episodes were kind of...
filler-ish.
I feel like the last three episodes were they ran out of ideas for this season, and they stretched out the finale over three episodes.
Right. When they have...
That's just me.
It reminds me of Battlestar Galactica when it started... They just started having like a whole bunch of filler episodes. Like the boxing match between the crew members had nothing to do with what was going on.
Yeah. And I'm looking forward to season three and seeing what they do with it. And, you know, and it's not going to be the only show in town because there's going to be The Flash on the network too.
I made a mistake and I watched the Flash teaser and not the Flash trailer.
You didn't watch the 5-minute trailer?
I didn't. But you know what? I don't like watching trailers like that.
It's good. It's good. It has a nod to Flashpoint in the trailer.
Oh, cool. All right.
Yeah, you need to watch it.
Won't you just see it when he watches the show?
Yes, and you'll see it when you watch the show, and I know you will. I think, I'm surprised, Shipwreck, that the Flash isn't the only DC character you like.
No, I'm okay with the Flash. I read Flash comics.
I was gonna say, he's the most like Spider-Man of DC characters. The same silly bad guys and the same like approximate age and the quick one-liners. There's a lot in common.
Yeah, he's the closest thing to a Marvel character in the DC universe.
Did you watch Flashpoint Paradox, Ship?
No.
You should watch that. I recommend it.
That's one of those animated ones?
Yeah, it's good.
Is it on Netflix?
Soon, probably.
No,
it will
not
be,
yet.
Okay.
You think so?
Why wouldn't it?
They haven't added a new DC movie onto Netflix in a long time.
There haven't been that many new ones, I don't think.
Well, they keep adding all the new Marvel ones. I haven't even watched them.
The Marvel ones are never as good.
They aren't. I mean, there's that one with Iron Man and the Punisher, and I'm kind of curious. But I don't know if I'm curious enough to actually watch it.
All the Marvel ones, I can't tell. Like, I've never watched any of them, but all the covers of them just look at like it's them fighting one another. It's like Iron Man versus Hulk, or Wolverine versus Hulk.
There is a Wolverine versus Hulk.
There is. Yes.
Yeah. It's
Wolverine versus Hulk and Hulk versus Thor, and the same one. That's pretty good, actually. But it's just them beating the shit out of each
right,
other.
Right, that's what every one of those Marvel ones looks like to me when I look at the cover.
Yeah, that's what they do.
Yeah, okay.
Also, while we're talking about TV shows, we'll finish up. Silent Dante writes in and wants us to talk about how Almost Human was canceled and that Fox is the worst, basically. You guys watch Almost Human? Because I watched the whole season.
I did not.
They brought in John Larroquette, dude, at the end of the season to be a bad guy.
The huge star, John Larroquette?
It was awesome to see. How awesome was it to see, would it be to see John Larroquette in a like a science fiction show where you would never expect to see him?
How's he doing?
He's awesome.
I was going to say, I haven't seen him in anything since 1988.
Dude,
so
he was great. And he was a great, the problem with Almost Human was it was a great idea. Do you know, you remember we talked about it? It was the robot cop with the cop with a,
it was RoboCop split into two people.
Yeah. Exactly.
And it had the guy from Dread and Star Trek in it.
They never, right. And they
not
never,
Hugh Jackman.
They didn't, it wasn't serialized. Like the story didn't carry over from episode to episode. Is that what, I think that's what serialized means.
No, serialized means the opposite. It means the story does carry over.
Oh, well, it wasn't, whatever. They were all one-off episodes. And that kind of sucked. But they were good. And they brought John Larroquette in, and I thought he was going to be a reoccurring like mastermind criminal.
Dan Fielding?
No, he was like a robot. He made evil robots, basically. His company went out of business, and then he started making kick-ass killer robots because he was pissed off. So it was great, and then it got canceled. That sucked. I feel really bad for Dan Larroquette because he had that one job.
Maybe John Larroquette?
John Larroquette. Dan's his brother. He's probably successful.
I'm sure he loves being called Dan by people.
Like you said, it's been a long time, Wombat.
Mm-hmm.
He was great on Night Court, though.
He was great on Night. He won like 4 Emmys for that or something.
I know, but he was like
number.
He was great on this too, and I was so happy to see him. And they fucking canceled the show. All right, should we talk about the NPDs?
Sure.
Video games and such.
Oh, I thought it was the Nantucket Police Department.
Huh. I don't get it, Chip.
NPD.
That's fine. Right. Let's just move on.
Nantucket Police Department.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yep.
I'm drinking wine. Cut me some slack.
All right, Chip. What are the takeaways from the April NPDs?
There's a lot of Lego games.
and people buy them.
Right.
Always.
And sometimes Lego's in all caps and sometimes it's not.
But we can all agree it's a great fucking business.
Yes.
Making these Lego games.
It seems to pay off for them. Somehow they can make them for every platform imaginable.
They're good. I mean, they're very playable, and they have gotten better over the years. It's not like they've just, you know, kept it exactly the same, like maybe like a Dynasty Warriors type of game.
Lego the Hobbit, Lego the movie video game, and Lego Marvel Super Heroes came in at 5, 6, and 7 on the NPDs.
Yes.
So that's staying strong. And then the rest of it's stuff you would kind of expect. Number one was Titanfall. The 360 version sold the most, which you would expect just because of install base.
Right. 80 million.
Is that how it is on the NPD? The system that's first is the one that sold the most copies?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't know. I'm asking.
And then you have Call of Duty Ghosts, and then you have NBA 2K14, and then you have Minecraft. So those three right there are always there. And then you have, after the Lego games, you get down to Amazing Spider-Man 2. Did you guys finish that?
Which sold the most on the PlayStation 4.
Huh.
Sure. Some people needed, nothing came out for the next gen consoles last month. You had Kinect Sports and
Infamous.
No, Infamous was the month before.
Oh.
You had Kinect Sports, you had Amazing Spider-Man, and you had Trials. Those were the three games I think that came out for at retail for next gen systems.
But none of those new releases are on this chart.
Spider-Man is.
Yeah, that's true. That's the only one. It's the only new release, but that doesn't count because it was on everything.
Right.
Like, Kinect Sports was only on the Xbox One, and it is not a top 10 game. And I have a feeling that number 10 on this list, not that Assassin's Creed 4 isn't great. I have it. I like it very much. I just don't think that it sold that many copies in April. I'm sure it sold a good amount to be number 10, but I'm sure it's not something that they're, you know, revising their financials on.
Yeah, so not a lot of stuff sold. It's pretty much Sony came out and said that Infamous Second Son was the top selling next gen game of the month. No numbers or anything, so who knows what that actually equates to.
It can't be very much, right? If it didn't make the top 10.
Yeah, it's not outstanding.
I mean, the number one game, you know, Titanfall. We know Titanfall's not selling a million copies, right? And isn't that what it did in March? It did about less than a million.
Yeah, it did about a million. Well, the Xbox One only sold, all games combined, only sold 447,000 games.
But the 360, the version could have sold a million by itself.
The 360 version is, it's possible. 360 games sold 2.2 million games. So do you think half of all games sold for the 360 in April were Titanfall?
Could be.
I'm not saying that's impossible. I'm just saying that's pretty.
The PC version
crazy,
is not selling very well.
Percentage.
You can tell. It's not selling very much.
I think there are better online multiplayer shooters available on the PC.
I'll tell you now.
I don't have a PC, but just listening to you two, I'm pretty sure that would be the reason.
Well, and PC. We have to remember MPDs are retail physical copies only. Right, and a lot of the PC sales are going to be digital.
Right. I don't know. I'm enjoying Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare more than Titanfall. That has a lot more staying power, I think, just because the way they work.
That's not a top 10 game either.
No. Well, that was download. Oh, yeah. Right. That has a real retail copy, huh?
Mm-hmm. It does have a retail copy. And
it's really good.
Is it still on sale?
Keep an eye out when that goes on. Oh, it's on sale now?
And it's on the 360 now also.
It's really good. I mean,
it was on sale digital only. On the 360 for $20 and on the Xbox One for $30. So, you know, you say it's a better game, but it's not outselling Titanfall, and it's on the same amount of, well, it's not on PC. It's on almost the same amount of consoles.
It's coming out for PC. It may be out for PC by now. I don't know. It's supposed to be out for PC. It's really good, though. I like Plants vs. Zombies. They give out the card. They do the card packs the way that, you know, like Titanfall gives you the burn cards. But the cards you get in this, they're for customizing your character and upgrading your character.
I'll be right back.
Wow.
This is controversial, Ship.
Yes. Yeah, I agree. Plants vs. Zombies Garden Warfare. I want to go back and play that some more. But
it's really fun. And it just gives you that incentive to keep playing it, getting those card packs. And I did notice that they snuck in microtransactions now. Or macro transactions. So you can now pay money to buy.
Kind of knew that was coming.
Yeah.
The whole setup was already in there.
Pretty sneaky to not put it in when the game launches and add it later.
I'm sure they're experimenting with it to see if that's like a viable thing to keep games continuing to get money. Like,
I gotta go. You guys can finish the show without me.
Oh, wow. Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Don't forget to send your audio over before you go to sleep.
Okay.
Later.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Wow, dude.
It's going down in the Wombat house.
Going down. Wombat can't wait for E3 now. He's gonna be free. Think about how stressful it must be over there with the two kids.
I think he's going to be getting phone calls when we're at E3.
Oh, God. We need to get one of those cell phone blockers. Just tape it to his back or something. What were we talking about?
We were moving on to the hardware sales.
Oh, okay. So this brings us right into the main topic of the week, of course. PlayStation 4 was the best-selling hardware. I guess they don't announce exact numbers still. But the Xbox One sold 115,000 units only. Which is why coming in June, you'll be able to buy it for $400 without the Kinect.
Yeah, 115 is really low.
We're talking Wii territory.
Right. Wii U territory.
Wii U territory, excuse me. And unlike Nintendo, Microsoft was like, okay, sirens are on. We got to do something. We got to get the price down. Price is really one of the biggest factors, probably the biggest factor. But it's just so, God, it's just so, I don't even know what the term to use. It's not sad. I mean, it is sad how badly the Xbox One launch was botched from within a year ago.
Well, they changed the vision of it. Like, they've been building this thing for years, and they changed the vision of it in like 2 weeks. As soon as they got all the bad press, and they realized, oh wait, we can't actually do this because we're going to get murdered. They changed directions, and they're still recovering from that a year later.
Do you think they rushed too quickly to change directions? Like, even if they had to change direction and get rid of all that DRM stuff, was there a huge – did they have to do it within that 2 weeks? Could they have waited? It was like May, right?
They had to do it. They had to do it when they did it.
Right then and there.
Yeah. They were dead in the water. Like, without Sony being on board with all that DRM stuff, they would have gotten murdered. Like, nobody would have signed up for it.
Right. But they still had time. It wasn't coming out till November, right?
Yeah.
They came and changed everything. Like, it was like back in May, right? It was before E3, right?
No, it was immediately following E3, right?
Oh, you mean talking about the DRM stuff? Or?
Yeah, because Sony had that whole thing in their press conference.
Right, okay.
About being
so it was right after, like 2 weeks
everything.
After E3, maybe?
Yeah, it was a couple weeks after E3.
But still, they had a lot of time, okay? They could have, like, nobody's like, you know, I mean, you could have, you plenty of time. They had months to work out, like, a real strategy. They could have just said, look, we know, we understand, we got your feedback, and we're going to see what we can come up with. And maybe not do it in 2 weeks. But anyway, there's a great article on Polygon written by friend of ours, Chris Grant, talking about, it's called Tracing the Collapse of the Integral Connect in Microsoft's Own Words. And it's just all these statements from Microsoft going back from May of last year about how the Kinect and Xbox One are the same thing. You can't have Xbox One without Kinect. I don't need to read you all the quotes, but you should go and read it because you'll just be angry that they could have messed this up so badly. You know, I was talking about this with my dad yesterday because the only thing we really use the camera for is for Skype. And it's pretty good for that. It could be better. And my dad was just like shaking his head about the whole thing. So now we can be pretty sure there'll be no, I mean, there were no games announced for Kinect to begin with, right? I mean, besides Fantasia. And now what can we expect? Nothing, right? Am I talking to myself? Yep. Hold on. I'm calling Shipwreck back. Dude.
What's going on?
I just like talked to myself for like 2 hours. I don't know what's happening.
All right.
Are you still recording?
Yeah, I'm still recording.
Okay, good.
What are we talking about?
I was just saying how the only useful part of Kinect for me and my father, who also has an Xbox One, is the Skype. And there's no games really or anything for it. Still there? Oh shit.
Hey, what's up?
Trouble. There's trouble. There's big trouble.
I was hearing like every third syllable.
Yeah.
So I think you were saying something about how they didn't make any games for Kinect.
I was saying, now there's really no point in owning it, right? I mean, except for Skype. I mean, Skype is the only killer app for it. That could be a lot better.
I guess you have Twitch too. Like, that's the Twitch stuff, I guess.
Yeah, that's good. And actually, I tried it out. And we never talked about new releases this week.
We'll get back to them.
We'll get back to it. Yeah, it's good for that. It's good for that. Game-wise, I mean, what do we got?
You got Disney's Fantasia, which is going to be good.
You got the Xbox Fitness stuff. which I tried. I did the yoga. I did the 10-minute. They have two yoga things they just added. One of them is a 30-minute, like the some Jillian Michaels or somebody like that. And the other one was a 10-minute one that was free. So I did the one that was free. But it's 10 minutes. It's like, it's pointless.
You can do
that. And my living room is too small for it.
Really? Your living room is not that small.
I can do it, but it's hard for me to angle the mat in a way that I can see the screen and the camera can see me at the same time.
Without moving like your couch and your
and my TV, coffee table. And, like, angling my TV.
Okay.
A certain way. But I would, if they had a proper yoga one, I mean, even a half an hour is too short for any, like, I mean, for power yoga, I guess it's good. I'll try the other power yoga one, the 30-minute one. But other than that, I mean, and we can forget about any games coming now, because it's not going to, you know, most people are going to buy the $400 Kinectless version. So now all we have is basically a machine that's not as powerful as the PlayStation 4, and it's going to come down to who can put together, if Microsoft can put together a much better interface and a media box, media streaming box than PS4, that could be important. But other than that, it's just at a disadvantage.
Yeah, I don't think matching price with PS4 is going to be the saving grace necessarily. Like, it certainly helps. But you're also matching a price in a time of year where people aren't looking to buy $400 consoles. So these are the slow months anyways.
Yeah. I mean, if you couldn't, yeah, it's.
Hey, they're changing stuff for the better. I mean,
shouldn't they just have sucked it up from the beginning and made it $400 and eat the $100 on each system?
Somewhere along the line, there was a vision for Kinect, and I just don't think they followed through on it.
I mean, even the fact that we never heard about game announcements, we still haven't heard like about game announcements other than Kinect Rivals and Fantasia. I mean, they have the money. If you're really serious about Kinect, pay to get some games on it. And they haven't even bothered to do that. At least with the first Kinect, they dropped money like on Suda to make some shitty game probably. But at least they were you know, doing something.
Yeah, well, I think part of that too, though, is that they had such a large install base already, so you already had the casual crowd that is more likely to be into, like, motion games, where now all you have is the hardcore crowd, and they don't want any of this nonsense to begin with. So it's really hard to get developers to make something.
I still say probably the best strategy for Kinect would have been like they did with the first Kinect. They had that Kinect like arcade, right? And you have a bunch of games in there from $1 to $5, and you go after, like, you know, app developers to make little mini game type things. People are more, I think that's the real killer app for Kinect beyond Skype are just little fun mini games that, you know, aren't going to replace, you know, a AAA title. You're not trying to replicate a controller with Kinect, like a normal game that you would use with a controller. I mean, games like, you know, like Wii Sports was successful, and all that was were mini games. People don't need a Mass Effect with voice commands. That's not the killer app. It's like stupid. It's like Fruit Ninja with moving your arms for under $5 or $5.
That stuff is just missing in general, though, on Xbox One.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of that low-price, like, arcade-type stuff. They killed Xbox Live Arcade.
Right.
Which I'm wondering if that's going to come back now, too. There's been a lot of changes here now since the leadership has changed.
Right. Killed Kinect. Put that at the top.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then now forget it. Now that whole idea of having a Kinect arcade is just completely dead. Dead in the water. And it could have been great for them. It's a great differentiator. It'll look really funny on late night television and daytime television. You know, people playing Rise and saying fire arrows. You know, that's not going to look so good on Jimmy, whatever. Not Kimmel, the other one. Jimmy Fallon. But, you know, Jimmy Fallon in like a, you know, like in a virtual banana suit or something, you know, that'll look good and that'll sell systems. But now it's just over. The Kinect is dead.
It had a run.
Gave me the runs. Well, I'll still use it to say Xbox pause, and I'll use it for Skype. And I'm sorry, Shipwright, that you had to drill a hole in your wall to accommodate the Kinect. If you just waited, you could have saved $100 and all that time and energy.
It looks nice. Like, I don't know.
Do you use it for Skype?
No, I don't use Skype for anything.
Yeah, except for this.
Except for this.
And you don't need video.
No. And, I mean, I use it for... I yell at it to change the channel sometimes. It's all voice command stuff. Like, the voice command stuff, that has merit still, I think.
It does, but it's still unrefined.
Oh, yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Definitely.
Like, if it's listening to you, if it says it's listening to you in the screen, sometimes you have to say Xbox, sometimes you don't have to say Xbox. It's just very confusing, and you wind up saying things two or three different ways to get the thing to do what you want it to do. But now, I don't know. They should build the microphone, like we talked about before, build the microphone into the front of the box. No one cares about the camera. Right? I mean, and then you wouldn't have to change so much. Then you wouldn't have to abandon your original vision so much if voice control was such a big deal. Or should it be built into the controller? I don't know. It's just a mess, man.
It is a mess. But the nice thing is they are trying to change it early on in the game.
Right. They're not going to pull a Nintendo. They're not going to be like, oh, when some game comes out, everyone's going to rush and buy one. It didn't happen with Titanfall. They had to wait to see if it happened with Titanfall. It didn't happen. And they reacted very quickly. Unfortunately for us, it just killed the Kinect and reaffirmed our opinion that the whole thing is just a waste of time to begin with.
They tried.
Oh, well.
They tried.
They tried.
Yeah.
They didn't try that hard, though. They really didn't try this time. I don't know what happened. Wow. It's just, I could talk about this all day, literally. Yeah. And they're even giving, and now also, you don't have to pay for Xbox Live to get Netflix and Hulu.
That's
you
nice.
Already pay for. Which was, it was very stupid to begin with.
It made sense when they did it to begin with, just because they could get away with it, but now they can't get away with it.
Now that their competitor is beating them and has the same service and you don't have to pay extra for a service that you're already paying for, it's what the fuck?
And they announced Games with Gold is coming to Xbox One as well.
Right, and Max Curse of Brotherhood is the first game?
The Halo, the...
Okay.
Whatever.
Well, Max is very good. I played through Max, and I thought it was great. I know the reviews were like pretty mixed for it, and I really disagreed with some of the negative reviews that I read. They were complaining that the controls weren't tight enough, and I don't know. Did not have that experience. And they're also offering refunds for people for Xbox Live Gold once they take the payroll. If you renewed or something.
If you had paid ahead of time and you were paying, basically, if you were somebody who was paying so they could watch Netflix or any of the things behind the paywall.
Okay.
You could get your money back or whatever. However much time you had left on your gold subscription, they were going to pay you back.
All right. Let's talk about new releases, and we'll talk about Super Time Force first because we're in the Xbox world.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really cool game.
Yeah, it's interesting. It's like Lost Vikings on speed. Like, you have three characters and you can switch between them on the fly. And
you get more characters.
Well, I only have three characters to begin with.
I have five characters.
Nice. But it's kind of hard to describe because the levels are timed, but as you're going along, you can get out a different character and rewind time and then combine with the other character to power up and shoot orbs to extend the time and slow down time. And it's neat.
It's very unique. It's one of the most unique games I've played in a long time. It's great. I streamed it on Twitch yesterday, and you can go to twitch.tv/gbassgamer if you want to watch the video.
Yeah, it's got like, the gameplay is similar to like a Metal Slug or a Contra type of game. But
doesn't feel like it though, because of the art style. I really like the art style.
Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of old Sierra adventure games. But cooler. especially like the spaceship designs.
Does Jean Rambo remind you of anybody?
Yeah. People probably compare this game to Broforce in a way, but they're really very different. The whole time mechanic is so integral to this game, and I've ever seen it been done like this before.
It takes great. A little like, while to get used to, because it's overwhelming at first.
Yes, I'm still not used to it.
Right.
I feel like I still haven't figured out the exact proper times to rewind, stop time and rewind and add more people. But super clever game. It's great. And the writing is very funny as well. Really great game. Super Time Force. It's on Xbox 360 and Xbox One right now. I think it's coming to other platforms eventually, where they're trying to do that. But very cool. What else came out this week?
Also on Xbox One, Nutjitsu came out.
Okay.
It's $6.50. It's by NinjaBee, but it's a Windows 8 tablet game that they've ported over to Xbox One.
I'm going to pass on that one, I think.
Yeah, it's like
Games for Gold next month?
Maybe in the future. I like NinjaBee games. I'm not convinced porting over Windows Surface tablet games to Xbox One is going to pique my interest too much.
Right. Maybe this could have been the type of game that could have been in Kinect Arcade for $4.99.
Well, I don't know that it uses Kinect at all. I'm positive whatever. It doesn't. But
well, a game like that, you know, if you're going to get like some sort of tablet game or I don't know. You know what I'm saying.
I get what you're saying. But it's $6.50. It's not terrible.
Right. What else we got?
We have Borderlands 2 came out for the Vita without having to buy a Vita.
Okay.
I'm torn on that.
You don't need to play more Borderlands.
I think if I didn't have the shield, if I hadn't already spent whatever I spent, $350, $250, however much I spent on the shield.
Right.
If I hadn't spent that much to play Borderlands 2 on a portable, I would consider this. But I'm also scared about it missing the buttons. Like you're going to be face touch in or rear touch in or something.
You got the shield. You don't need that.
Yeah. It does sync up with your PS3 save though.
Right. You have that going too.
Yeah. And let's see here. Did I play anything else here? I don't think I did.
The reviews came out for Mario Kart 6.
Mario Kart 8?
Or 8, rather.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Catchy title, I know. they're good. People like it.
Yeah, great.
Hopefully people will remember when the game comes out.
Yeah, like in 2 weeks or something like that?
They do that early with the intention of getting people to pre-order the game. So the stores buy more copies now.
It probably was some of that. It was probably some of, we need to get this to reviewers since it's coming out right before E3.
But embargo. Can always do the old embargo.
I guess.
They must be worried. Nintendo must be worried that stores aren't going to stock a lot of them because they probably don't stock. They probably don't order a lot of copies of new Wii games.
I think they knew they had a good game on their hands, and they're kind of banking on this game to sell a few Wiis at least.
I don't think it's going to sell.
It's conceivable that the Wii U could sell more than the Xbox One next month.
I don't. Yeah. Wow. That would be interesting. I don't think that's going to happen though.
It's conceivable though, because the price drop for the Xbox One doesn't happen until June. Price drop, but the taking out of Kinect. Yes.
Oh, that's dumb.
That happens the week of E3. So you have
Dumb. Oh, why would you do that?
You have a whole month of Xbox Ones out there with people knowing that if they wait a month, they can save $100.
So basically, they have to announce it now because there are Microsoft, I'm talking about, the Kinectless version, because there are, because of leaks that will inevitably happen, and they want to be in control of the message.
Well, they couldn't have done it at E3 either. Can you imagine the press conference if they came out and said that information?
No, but I'm saying why
people would be standing up and clapping, like, right, thank God Kinect is dead.
Right.
But, it would have been awful for their PR department.
But what you don't want to do is announce a cheaper version of your system and not have it available to be sold immediately.
You could pre-order it.
Yeah, people aren't going to do that. So that's the problem. That's why these companies get so mad when the price drops get leaked in the Sunday ads, because you know nobody's going to, someone has the Sunday ad from 3 weeks from now and they see it's going to be $100 cheaper and it gets out on every major site, they're probably not going to sell too many consoles between now and then.
I think Circuit City's coming after Microsoft here.
Circuit City's not coming after anybody. So I don't know. That seems like a really bad idea to announce it and not have it available to be sold right then and there. But okay, I mean,
there should be a program where you could go buy it at the store, and then the store just takes the Kinect out of the box, and then there you go. There's your system.
Something. I don't. There's a lot of bad decisions going down in Seattle. The weed decision. They make the right decisions on weed, but on launching consoles. Just between Nintendo and Microsoft, a little bad shit going down.
Well, I don't think...
Maybe everybody's high. Is that the problem?
I don't think the Nintendo decisions are coming from there.
Right, exactly. They're just getting high and going, oh my God, we have to do what? wow. Okay. Is that it for... We're done with new releases, right?
Yeah, I think that's enough new releases.
Where are we here? Sony?
Sure.
I bought Sports Friends. Sorry, I need a little drink there. Sports Friends is awesome. I'm the best at Johann Sebastian Joust. Pretty much you can't beat me.
Who have you played against?
Ty. I played against Ty. Okay, and I'll admit that Ty is not a great opponent because he's 6 and really short and weighs 30 pounds.
So you just push him over?
Well, then I have to play. So, yeah, I mean, I can push him over I can just flick my finger and make him move. But then I played by sitting on my knees, and obviously it's still not good enough for him. But then my friend Scott came over, Scott Popular, and he's basically the same size as me, except he weighs probably 50 pounds more than me.
That's nice of you to say.
No, I mean, but muscle. You know, he's a football player. I mean, he's big. He's a big guy. He didn't stand a chance. He couldn't even win one round. So the fact that I have like a really long wingspan and pretty good balance from yoga makes me a very good joust competitor. I'm just throwing that challenge out there.
So are you playing with move controllers or with the DualShocks?
I don't have any move controllers. So I have 2 DualShock controllers. It works perfectly. It's really cool. That's the game. Joust is the one where you hold the controller, and if you move the controller too much, you're out, and then the last person standing wins. And you're listening to Bach. And then when the music speeds up, you can move faster. It's less sensitive. It's really great. I like all the games. I like Super Pole Riders and Body Ball or something. And did you try the hidden games?
No, I did not.
They're good. There's one called a Pong type game, which is the best version of Pong ever. And there's like a game that's like Wrestle Jump for the iPad.
Okay.
So yeah, Sports Friends is great. Definitely recommend that.
If you have people to play with.
If you have people to play with, you need at least 2 people for all of the games, and one of them you need 4 players for. So I recommend it, definitely. Wombat wanted to talk about Stick It to the Man.
I haven't played it.
I played a little of it. It seemed cute. but it was late and I was getting sleepy.
All right, we'll table that until Wombat's back then.
Yes. For some reason, I bought the BioShock Infinite DLC. We were looking for stuff to do.
Okay.
You know, there was just, I don't know.
How's that?
It's not bad. I mean, it's, you know, it's now it's in, you're in Rapture.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, except it's Booker and Elizabeth, and you're investigating a missing girl. You're basically looking at the start. It's when Rapture was still a thriving city, or it was about to not be so thriving. And it's pretty interesting so far. Story seems pretty good. I haven't finished episode one yet. There's two episodes. But so far, so good. Mrs. Chibi likes it.
Hmm. So that's you important. Bought that on Steam?
Yep.
So I guess I could share that? Does that work?
I think that's how it works. All if right. you launch mine, but you won't... Yeah, but it's a different saved game, so yeah. If you launch my copy of Infinite, you're good to go.
All right, we'll check it out.
We talked about Harmonix and Amplitude last week, the Kickstarter, right?
We did.
But it's not going well,
the Kickstarter. It's definitely not going to make it.
It's not going to make it unless somebody steps in and donates $500,000, basically.
Right. Which is sad. I mean, Harmonix wants to make it. Amplitude was good.
Amplitude was great. I loved Amplitude. I love Frequency. But I think it's hard. I don't think people are interested in a game like that without licensed music. I think that's a big part of it. And I think people just don't want to buy. Yeah, if you don't know what the songs are, like the song selection is so important for games like that, right? You always check the back of the box before you bought a game like Frequency or Amplitude to see how many of the songs you were interested in. And now when you know that you're not interested in any, zero is the number, it doesn't make you want to buy the game like 2 years before it comes out. So yeah, it was sort of destined to fail in this format, I think.
Yeah. You know?
And this is coming from
I feel for them because I like the Harmonix guys. They're
good
people.
And I played the shit out of both of those games.
Yeah, I don't do Kickstarter.
This is not the Amplitude that we're looking for, I think.
I'm sure it's fun. I don't mind new music, but yeah, of course you want to play as the songs that everybody knows. But
yeah, it's just I don't know. It's like, would you buy Rock Band if you didn't know any of the songs? No.
Oh, that's so, that's how you used to buy Dance Dance Revolution.
But even that, you knew a couple of the songs.
They had, I did. Like, I didn't know any of these Japanese pop songs when I was.
They had like In the Navy and stuff. Some of the depending on the version. Oh yeah, the versions they released in America didn't have any songs that you knew.
Not until like a few editions of it did, but some of those early editions were just a bunch of Japanese songs.
True. Maybe for a game like that, it's less important. It's just, you know, because it's dance music, right? And mm-hmm. the goal is to have a beat and to move around. And maybe it doesn't work as well with a game like Amplitude. I don't know. I just know that I'm their biggest fan, and I wasn't interested in buying it. So they're that's not a good sign. Let's see.
Maybe hopefully they can do something with it. I don't know.
Right. They just need the licensed music. They need Sony to stop being so cheap. Come on, Sony. I mean, everybody knows this is really just a Sony Kickstarter.
Well, somewhat, but Sony.
Yeah, they want to gauge interest.
Yeah, they wanted to gauge interest. And I mean, with all of these indie projects that Sony has their hands in.
Like, yeah.
I think they have enough risks already.
Oh, they have too many risks, you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, as much time and effort as Sony has put into getting indie games onto consoles, which is great. It's just, I don't know, like, profits-wise, if it's paying itself back yet.
Right. And I think the sad thing is that this Kickstarter is not really a fair indication of interest in the game. Because I think it's really just an indication of interest in this particular version of Amplitude that they're proposing, but not a true sequel. A true sequel with licensed music, I think, would have a much more successful Kickstarter. And you can't just, I mean, they alluded to it in this one. They said, like, oh, if we get to a certain goal, if we, they didn't actually state a specific stretch goal for getting licensed music in there. It said, like, oh, if we're overfunded, then we can investigate getting licensed music. And that's just, it's very ambiguous. It's not, no one's going to give their money with a statement like that. But what will get my money is Diablo 3 for consoles, which is coming out this summer in August. That looks good. That looks like something I want.
Yeah. I'm down with that.
They
get you the expansion pack as well, right? Because this is the Ultimate Evil Edition.
Yep. I've been waiting for this for a while. So, what else we got here? the Watch Dogs edition chart that you tweeted about, Ship.
Yeah, that was fun this week. So just while I was browsing Wikipedia, I was just looking to see what the, like, check what the release date of what Watch Dogs was. And I was just scrolling down the page, and all of a sudden there's this huge spreadsheet that shows, like, how you get all of the pre-order bonuses and DLC and all the extra, like, I don't know, soundtracks and maps and...
Yeah, it's like a 20 by 20 grid of like check marks and X's, right?
Right. Like, it was all like yeses and nos and all in green and red. And I just thought it was funny. I like spreadsheet humor. That's right. What I'm into. And so I like tweeted out a picture of it. Just, I think I said something like, you're probably buying the wrong edition of Watch Dogs.
Right.
And that was like... It got a lot of retweets and everything, which was fun. I didn't think about it.
Yeah, it got like over 100, right?
Yeah, I think last time I checked it was like 150 or something.
Oh wow.
Somewhere around that range.
I saw Destructoid wrote an article about it.
Destructoid was great. They, like, in either the first or second sentence, they're like, cheap ass gamers, Robert Good,
link to your Twitter account.
Yeah, link to my Twitter account and everything. Like, which is the odd thing. Like, it's not like I actually did anything.
No, you just found it.
I just found it.
Joke about it.
And made a joke, yeah. But it was great that they linked to me and everything. And Polygon linked to me, though that was kind of weird.
The text on the link was people, right?
Yeah, the text was people on Twitter. And then it just linked to my Twitter account, which was, that's fine. At least they sourced it or whatever.
They're just not worthy of them telling everybody your name. That's all.
Yeah, that's
Destructo. I thought you were worthy. You were important enough, and Kotaku didn't think you were worthy at all.
Yeah, it's Kotaku. Yeah, they went
they
out
even
of
mention
their,
they, that if anybody tweeted about it. They just
no, they did.
Oh, they did.
They did, or they might have said images started making the rounds on the internet or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
They
made
like a whole paragraph almost like avoiding pointing out that I had tweeted it out. Which is humorous. I mean, that's fine. I mean, you can act like you found it on Wikipedia. Like,
right. It doesn't really matter. It's not going to affect you. It's just
humorous to see, like, since I know that I was, of course, I didn't invent it, but I know that
you didn't make the chart.
I know that me putting out there is what caused it to go on all these sites.
Right. You're not Columbus, right? You didn't discover America.
Right.
But you did bring it to everybody's attention.
Yeah. But, yeah. So there's a lot of editions of Watch Dogs. And
I hate that. I don't even know. And that game's coming out very soon, end of this month, right?
Yeah, end of this month. I think that was on the Wikipedia page, too.
And they announced all the Ps, the various Ps for the next-gen consoles. Mm-hmm. P count?
There was 900 Ps on the PS4.
Yep, for PS4. But only 30 FPSs.
Okay. But 30 FPS is on Xbox One as well, right?
Yes, but only like a weird number of Ps, like a very
737 or something Ps.
It's like, oh, come on. We just got to get like 5 more Ps, man. Come on. We got 3 weeks. Yeah, I'll get the PC. If it's good, if the reviews are good, I'll buy the PC version. I'm sure there's a cheap deal somewhere like on Green Man Gaming or whatnot.
Which edition?
I don't, yeah, whichever is the cheapest. What else we got here? You saw Ubisoft revealed Far Cry 4, that it exists, and the box art for it.
That box art is crazy.
Yeah, so there's a thread on NeoGAF entitled Far Cry 4's art is racist and the antagonist is potentially gay. The picture is...
The antagonist, right?
The antagonist, yes. Yes, I said protagonist.
Yeah, you said, which is much different.
Right, yes. So, yeah, it's a guy wearing a pink leather suit.
Looks like a character from Saints Row.
He looks like either a character from Saints Row or a Japanese gangster or a Japanese game developer that I travel with on the plane every year to
E3. Right, right. The thing is, like, when I saw this image at first, like, if I took the Far Cry logo out of it and just put, like, Saints Row behind it, it would be like, this isn't quite crazy enough to be Saints Row, but I see where they're going.
Okay.
But yeah, this got a lot going on with it.
Well, I mean, I don't. So, yeah, I don't know. Do we need to jump to conclusions right now? But we know that the game takes place in the Himalayas, right?
Yeah, you can see the Tibetan monk flags and everything.
All right, so we'll have snow, I guess. That's the difference this time. Yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
It's a little bit disturbing with the guy. There's a guy on his knees, and the guy in the pink suit or whatever is holding his head, and the guy on his knees has a grenade in his hands.
Yeah.
Like,
so why is that disturbing? It doesn't look that bad to me. What does that imply? That he's...
It looks like he's going to kill himself.
Oh. But he's going to kill the other guy with him if he drops the grenade.
Well, I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what it's implying. It looks sinister.
Well, that's what they're going for.
Sure. I don't know. It's just weird. It's a weird cover. It's definitely, it's a cover that evokes feelings, like, when you look at it.
Well, I think people are worried that the main villain's going to be just a gay stereotype. Which you could see them making that mistake. You could see a video game company making that mistake.
I think it's a mistake to assume he's gay.
That's true. It could very well be. He could be a very good gay villain. You don't know. He may just be a really well-written villain who happens to be gay.
Or he could not be gay.
Or he could not be gay.
He just looks wacky to me.
Maybe the rocket launcher is gay. It looks kind of gay. So you don't know. This, I think, is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to buy that game.
We do know that.
It'll be good. I'm pretty sure. They pretty much... You know, Far Cry 2 was pretty awesome, except they had a bunch of frustrating things in it. And then they just took all that shit out in Far Cry 3, and it made it awesome. So they just got to add a few more new things, and we'll have a fun time. Where are we here? Some CAG bag?
Sure.
Delicious Games writes in and he says, I want Wombat E3 headcam and Wombat Twitch feed. Can it be done? He didn't sound like he was that excited about wearing a camera on his head, Chip.
He sounded pretty sad when we suggested it.
Why sad? I thought can't he be like happy go lucky Wombat?
I don't know. He's dealing with his kids right now, so we can bring that up again. We'll see.
Yeah. Somebody had a question about Ben Kuchera. I don't even know why I put it on here. I don't even know. I guess Ben is defending. What's defending? Defending the Xbox One. There's no such thing as defending an Xbox One. You either think it's a good product or you think it's a lacking product. And right now it's kind of lacking, I think, in a lot of ways. Compared to the 360, anyway. Did we talk about NHL 15 last week? I couldn't remember.
You brought it up.
But we didn't have time, right?
I don't know. What do you want to say about NHL 15?
Do I have an appointment at E3 to play it yet?
No.
We got to work. We didn't get the E3. I mean, the EA email.
I haven't seen that one yet. So.
Fuck. I got a Konami one today.
I did too.
But I just deleted it. Because, oh yeah, you can't say what it was about, but.
Right.
It was like watching a movie or something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see if I sign us up for that or not. Or if I sign
I actually sprained my finger pushing the delete button so quickly. It's weird.
Man, I wanted to play some Know Your E3 Exhibitors, but it's not as fun without Wombat here.
We can't really. Maybe we could do like two. Okay. Two or three. You have a lot, right?
Yeah, yeah. We still have plenty left.
Okay. I forgot to pull a lot of questions. So maybe we should do that.
All right. So, do you just want me to pick one out of the list?
Yeah. So it's either this E3 exhibitor is either a mobile game developer or slash MMO.
Mm-hmm.
It's either some cloud bullshit.
Right.
Or it's an accessory.
Right.
Okay. Ready.
Okay. We have Boogio. Boogio. They're in booth 2959.
Boogio. Boogio. Is it a place that I can store my boogers if I pick my nose while I'm gaming? I'm going to say it's an accessory.
Well, you got that right.
All right. Did I get the boogie holder part?
No, not well, maybe. You could do that, I guess. Their spiel is make your shoes smart. Boogio is a wearable technology that uses sensors and software to help unlock your true potential.
So they're smart shoes.
They're going to put something in your shoes that interacts with the games.
Perfect. Okay. Give me another one.
Okay.
Were you going to ask me the one you posted one in the instant message today? The one with the dot on the screen?
Oh, I don't have that one on here. I don't think. Unless I only have the name of the companies that make it. So
HipDot.
Yeah, but there's an
accessory that you put a red dot on the middle of your television set and a wire that goes down, and it's supposed to make it better, easier to aim. I have no idea.
You always know where the crosshair is at, even if you're playing a game where you turn the crosshairs off, is how that works. I don't think we're good enough to know if that's helpful. What's going on?
The speaker trucks are rolling through now.
Oh, okay.
So I had to close the window, and I have to do it like I have to kick the window closed. Oh God, I gotta close the door. It's so loud. That's the only problem with this neighborhood is there's too many. The Russian embassy is here, and there's always not always, but these speaker trucks drive through so once in a while, screaming. And they can't go in front of the embassy, so they go like on my street.
Right.
Because they block off the cops block off the embassy. Thanks, cops. What were we talking about?
We were talking about HipShot.
Right. Oh, we were doing the E3 exhibitors.
Yes. Let's do one more.
Okay.
Let's go with how about Game Hawk.
Okay. See, you might think at first it's going to be an accessory, but I'm going with it's probably a mobile developer, like in like Eastern Europe.
It could be mobile, kind of.
Give me the spiel.
I categorized it as something else.
Okay, give me the spiel. I'll tell you if you're
Game Hawk, an innovative app that is designed to provide the pathway for friends to be able to play their favorite games with their actual friends.
Yeah, it's a mobile developer. It's a mobile app.
Okay.
Right?
I'll give it. Yeah, I was kind of BSing that one too. I would have accepted either answer.
Oh.
No, it's a real thing. I didn't make it up, but I would have accepted either answer.
But the BS is supposed to be cloud BS, right?
This is kind of cloudy.
App. I got it right. It's your game. Even though it's your game, I'm declaring myself the victor. Even though I'm playing with myself.
Nice. You got two questions up on Wombat this episode.
Excellent. Yes, thank you.
I'll add those to the standings here.
Hey, wait, Wombat's on instant message. He sent me the file. Let's see if everything's okay, because I'm worried.
These kids, I don't think he's going to respond.
One kid, I'm telling you. You want to have one kid. Two kids, too much work. You know, it's fine if, like, maybe if it's fine if one of you is not working. But otherwise, too much work. It's even too much work if one of you isn't working. All right. Let's say goodbye. Hopefully things go a little smoother next week. Remind everybody to follow us on Twitter, GBD, Wombat5277, Shipwreck, and also Video Game Deals. Wow. Wombat says Elliot is still screaming. It's rough.
What's going on, man?
I don't know. Maybe he's sick or something.
Yeah.
What else? That's it, I guess. How is Hearthstone going, Ship? This is our special Hearthstone moment right now.
Okay, we can talk. I'm on a winning streak. I won one game, and then I stopped because I didn't want to lose my streak.
Right. Now, you built a new deck, right?
Yeah, I got all of the basic cards for the Warrior.
Okay.
And put together. That's the stupidest thing about this game, is that you have to go to websites to copy somebody else's deck to be any good.
You don't have to. It's really to give you an idea of, okay, this is a deck that is working for a lot of people. And then you read the comments and you can see why it's working. And then you can say, now you can tweak it and take things out and think cards that you might have that this person who made that deck, they may not have that card. So there's ways that you can improve on it. And then you can also just learn like why that works and make your own deck, make your own version of it. That's
a
all.
Lot
you don't
of work.
Have to use that.
A lot of work.
That being said, I'm using one of those decks right now. I'm using the Zoo deck. Raynard is one of the big streamers. So which deck were you using? You didn't say. The Trump deck that I sent you.
Yeah, the Trump basic
Warrior deck. Okay. I'm rank 13 right now using that Zoo deck, which is as far as I've ever gone. But I'm having some resistance now. But we got to have our lesson, Ship. And
what
then
are you
Ty can play
me?
You. What am I going to teach you?
Yeah, I don't understand.
I don't know. I don't know what you do or do not understand. You know about value?
About value?
Maximizing value. You got to maximize value, Shipwreck.
That I want my points to do the most damage?
Well, you have to know like when you're gonna attack his minions, when you're going to attack his face, when you're going to hold on to cards, when you're going to throw cards. That type of thing. What's your strategy to lead him off? Is your deck a deck where you're trying to just go right at him, very, you know, aggressive, an aggro deck? Or is your deck more of a control deck and you're going to wear him down over time?
I'm pretty sure the Warrior is an aggro deck.
Okay. It's like a lot of low-cost minions?
It's a lot of weapons for my character. It's a lot of low-cost minions and buffing of minions.
Right.
There's like hardly any shield cards whatsoever.
No, taunt, you mean?
They're shields, yes.
Oh, I forgot to tell you that I opened up a pack of cards. I was doing well, and I said, you know what? I don't want to spend it on Arena. I'm just going to open up a random one pack of cards with my gold. And I opened up the Mage Legendary. I was pretty excited about that. And then, because I was having a good night, I had enough dust to craft a Legendary. And I crafted Leroy Jenkins because I like that. He'll go good with my Zoo deck because the weakness to that deck is that it doesn't have it needs a little more finishing power. And this should provide that. Are you still hanging in there, Ship? That's what I need to know.
I'm still playing it occasionally. I get disappointed when I lose, so I don't like to play it very often.
I know. I want to teach you how to win. You should be able to win at least 50% of the time. Just on your wits alone, Shipwreck. I don't understand what you're doing wrong.
I'm not doing anything wrong. I think just starting out, you're going to lose a ton because you don't have the cards. You pretty much have to play what you have.
Right.
So, I mean, I understand the basics of it. I mean...
Right, okay.
Sometimes you only get better by playing it more. So
yes, of course.
sometimes you make dumb decisions and sometimes you don't. And sometimes you get lucky with the cards that you draw and sometimes you don't.
Yep. Absolutely. There's definitely luck involved. No question about it. All right. As long as you're hanging in there, I'm satisfied. As long as you don't throw the iPad out the window.
No. I still like sending you screenshots of my worst losses. My 30 to nothing losses where he's got he's got like seven cards on the board and I have nothing.
Right. You should be the one handing out the 30-0 losses.
Oh, my one win streak right now. I destroyed this guy. He's probably never coming back.
So you have all the cards in the deck?
I have all the basic cards, yeah.
Yeah, so you have them all. Okay, good. You're good. All right. Well, I still want to have that stream with you. It'd be fun anyway, just to play together.
Sure.
Right? Why wouldn't it be fun? Why are you so against it?
I'm not. Mrs. Shipwreck seems interested in it, so.
Yeah, okay.
She'll play you, I'm sure.
Yeah, get her on there. Ty can come. Ty wants to play against you. Ty plays against a bunch of my friends. Jon Snow.
Ty will beat me.
Esteban, he probably will. He has good cards. All right. Anyway, we will see you next week. Bye.
Bread's done.
Trapjaw, Battlecat, and He-Man each sold separately, string not included.
That hook won't stop He-Man. In Trapjaw, we use his vicious claw.
Still no contest.
In Trapjaw, we use his wicked laser.
Even a one-armed army can't stop He-Man and Battlecat.
You win this time, He-Man.
Trapjaw figure from the Masters of the Universe collection. He-Man and Battlecat figures each sold separately. From Mattel.